One specialist in human trafficking who's been following these developments is Professor Felicity Gerry QC. She lectures in modern slavery at Deakin University and is a barrister at Crockett Chambers in Melbourne, where she has been involved in several sex slavery cases.
The global figures for human trafficking are in the millions. So there will be cases every single day in Victoria where a human trafficking victim is before the court, but there's no specific defence. We just have a policy to try and divert those people.
So you're saying that trafficking in Australia, sex trafficking, is not rare?
Oh, no, it's not rare across the world. You do have to separate people who act autonomously and choose to be sex workers from those who are trafficked into sex work, but the method that traffickers use to traffic women into, particularly into sex work, is absolutely horrific, ongoing, and a global problem. And Australia is a destination country for human trafficking.
Is this trafficking in sex workers driven by particular corporate sectors?
The two ways we look at it is human trafficking and organised crime and corporate responsibility for modern slavery. And there's an overlap, particularly in the context of gambling. You've got the sort of zenith of it all brought together in the context of gambling, with high-rolling corporates mixing with organised crime, and ultimately the people who suffer are the slaves and human trafficking victims, who include people in forced labour, indentured servitude, as well as sex trafficking.
Where do the women in brothels, like the one allegedly linked to Crown Casino, come from? Is there any one country that tends to feature when you're looking at the trafficking of sex workers?
Mostly the data tends to suggest that the transnationally trafficked women are from Asia and ASEAN. But we mustn't forget that people are trafficked within Australia. So when I lived in Darwin, I was academically looking at fly-in, fly-out sex workers in Darwin that were not necessarily Asian, and they'd be flown in for 3 weeks, controlled by an iPad, and then flown out. Almost impossible to investigate whether or not they've got any autonomy at all or whether they're trafficked victims.
How are the young women being trafficked, tricked into this?
Well, usually the story is either love or job. So that's putting it very simply. The example I can give you of a case that I've done was vulnerable women from rural areas duped into travelling abroad on the promise of a job that they would then be able to send money home to their families. And of course, when they arrived, they were raped, brutalised, their passports removed, some of them their clothing removed, they're kept in horrible conditions and servicing hundreds of men a week. And with no way of escaping that, too frightened to escape, too frightened to challenge. And of course, the risk is they'll just be deported, they'll end up back in the hands of traffickers, or that their family will somehow be harmed, or that they'll be shamed on the internet. One tool of the traffickers is to shame people, access their Facebook pages and shame them to their families so they can never go home. So it's pretty brutal stuff, pretty horrific.
And are you saying that one of the reasons these women can't escape once they're in Australia is that they're actually locked in physically?
Oh, yeah. Not in every circumstance, you know. But, yeah, absolutely. The example I gave you in Darwin, there was some witness evidence that the person had arrived for 3 weeks, never left the building, and then left never to be seen again.
What laws does Australia have to protect these women and to prosecute the traffickers?
Pretty good laws in the Commonwealth Code in terms of prosecuting the traffickers, not used very often. There's pretty good policy. So there was a national action plan to combat human trafficking from 2015 to 2019, runs out this year. A very good parliamentary inquiry about what Australia needed to do, with significant recommendations in a report that is available online, the Hidden in Plain Sight report. But pretty poor legislation to combat modern slavery or to, for example, defend victims of human trafficking who commit crime.
You say there are pretty good laws, though. So are you surprised if a company like Crown is linked to organisations or organised crime elements that are involved in trafficking?
Well, they're pretty good laws to prosecute. I did say they're not used very often. I'm certainly not surprised that human trafficking is being uncovered in the context of corruption and gambling. That's an absolutely classic scenario. I'm not going to comment on the specific investigation because I rather hope it is being investigated properly and that this will be a case that can set an example. In both those contexts I've given you, human trafficking in organised crime and modern slavery in corporate supply chains, this is an opportunity for Australia to actually demonstrate how it does things properly in relation to combating human trafficking, forced labour, servitude, modern slavery, all of that language that we've known in international law for a very long time.
Felicity Gerry, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
And Professor Felicity Gerry QC is a barrister at Crockett Chambers in Melbourne and lectures in modern slavery at Deakin University.